to be clean, decent, disciplined, cultured, refined, proper, and spiritual. Dr. Bob Jones III, the president of Bob Jones University, was the speaker at the Bill Rice Ranch for the youth camp last year. And Dr. Jones did not tell me this until I'd heard it from many others. But across the country, reports came to me that Dr. Bob Jones III, the president of the great Bob Jones University, made this statement. There's something different about the teenagers from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Now bear in mind, these kids were in a ranch with other fundamental believers. But he said there's something different. He told me later, he said, Dr. Hiles, your kids show the signs of the well-rounded Christian life, and God knows that's what we try. If there's anything in this world we try to do, it's make our kids what they ought to be. You may not like the First Baptist Church. You may not like me. Personally, I don't see how anybody would help but like a nice guy like me. But thank you for that one amen. Thank you, Mother. And there's one thing about it. Now, that's one thing about it. We do spend ourselves trying to rear the kid, help you. A man called me last week and said, Pastor, I have several children. And he began to choke up on the telephone, and he said, you make it so easy. You make it so easy to rear our kids. Lady met me in the hall just the other day, yesterday. She's waiting for a child. As most of us, just cab drivers for our children coming from all over the area, bringing them to church activities. I know you get frustrated, but it'd be worth it someday. And so she said, Pastor, could I take 30 seconds of your time, please? And I said, yes. And she said, I just want to thank you. She said, for what you do for my boys. She said, you're making three boys in my house into men. Into men. Thank God for the good reports I hear. But there are others, too. See a lady sitting at my across from my desk. See her eyes red with a lack of sleep for days and nights. And see her lips as they quiver. And say, Pastor, I think my boy in college is on dope. And see her as she leaves. And I really of the years when he was a little boy in our church, grew up in our Sunday school. We had dreams and hopes for him like we do for all of you kids. And now the boy, as far as we know, is an addict. See a man come to my office, one of our finest men, and sit across from me and try to hold back the tears. And with a quivering voice, he says, Pastor, my son is on narcotics. And think with me back through the years, all the conferences I've had with that boy, and all we tried to do. I was thinking this morning, I counted, in spite of how hard we try, and God knows we try, anybody who's been here for a year knows that we try. God knows we do. We do everything we can to teach our children to be right, and we work at it. But in spite of that, I counted 13 of our people. Now, bear in mind this, we have 2,000 teenagers enrolled now. But I know 13 of our people that, since I've been here, grown up in our church, who are now addicts. I know that. Now this morning, in the early service, and in this service, I want to do what I can to prevent that. Listen carefully. The book of Revelation is divided into three parts. Chapter 1 tells what John had seen. Chapter 2 tells the things which are now. Chapter 2 and 3. Chapter 4 and following gives us prophecy. From Revelation chapter 4 on deals with the end time. I mean the last days of this dispensation. The days of the second coming of Christ, if you please. Now, chapters 4 through 18 deal with that. Chapters 19, 20, 21, 22 take us on to heaven and tell us the future of the believer. But
chapters 4 through 18 deal with this end time age of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon, and so forth. Chapters 6 through 18 deal with what will go on earth during this end time period. Now, if we had time, we'll not take time. We could show you what is going to happen in this end time period of 7 brief years, as recorded in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. Chapters 17 and 18 deal with a wicked woman. She is called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. This woman is symbolic of a system of the last days immediately preceding the coming of our Lord back to earth again. This wicked woman in Revelation 17 and 18, the Bible teaches us, symbolizes three things. The first thing she symbolizes is a great union of nations just before our Lord comes. The Bible says that the nations and governments of this world will be united in a great union just before our Lord returns. The United Nations, if you please. Nothing, by the way, in my opinion, there's nothing more revered undeservedly than the United Nations. I won't go into that. I could. I wish I could. God give us sense enough not to make treaties with godless nations. It's always been against the Word of God. God never wants His nations to make treaties or alliances with the heathen nation. Never has been right. Never will be right. It's not right today. But anyway, the Bible says there'll be a union of nations. Now, this woman represents something else. A union of churches. The World Council, if you please. Just before the coming of our Lord back to earth again, the nations will unite, the United Nations. The churches will unite, the World Council of Churches. And number three, the uniting of the finances and commerce. Finance and commerce are the World Bank. So those of us who study the Bible are aware of the fact that Revelation 17 and 18 deal with these subjects. The United Nations, or uniting of the nations, the uniting of the churches, and the World Bank, or the one finance system. Now, in these days, war, bloodshed, communism, sin shall be rampant like it has never been rampant before. Now, what is the devil going to use? Now, listen to this. What is Satan going to use to deceive the nations into these sins? Something the devil is going to use, the Bible says, will deceive the nations into a time of sin and bloodshed, the like of which the world has never seen before. Now, I told you to keep your Bibles to Revelation 18. Look at it, please. Revelation 18, 23. This is the key verse of the entire message. Don't miss it. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Now, by the way, this is talking about the days before the coming of our Lord. Revelation 19 describes the coming of our Lord. Revelation 17 and 18 describes the days just before the coming of our Lord. And we're just two verses from chapter 19 as we read again. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Now follow me here. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now look. The word sorceries there in the Greek is the word pharmakia. We would spell it P-H-A-R-M-A-K-I-A, pharmakia. So actually what it says is this, that the deceiving of the nations in the end time will be by thy pharmakia. By thy pharmakia. Can anyone think what the word pharmakia would be like in the English? Can you think of an English word that is much like pharmakia? Pharmacy. Pharmacy. For by thy pharmacy shall all the nations of the earth be deceived. For by thy pharmacy. Can anybody think of another word for a pharmacy? Would you raise your hand if you can? All right. Drugstore. All right, let's put that there. For by thy drugstore shall these nations be deceived. For by thy sorceries, for by thy pharmakia, for by thy pharmacy, for by thy drugstore, for by thy drugs will all of the nations of the earth be deceived. Now, what is Satan going to use in the end time to make the world as wicked as he wants it to be. He is going to use drugs. The same word is mentioned in Revelation chapter 9. We'll not turn to it in verse 21. When it mentions the fornicators, the thieves, and the sorcerers in the end time, the drug addicts, if you please. The same word is used in the Greek in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. When it lists some sins there, and witchcraft is one of them. The same Greek word is translated witchcraft or pharmakia. So three times in the Bible, we're reminded that the end time will be characterized by pharmakia. Drug stores are deceived by drugs. Now that means the devil is going to use drugs to make the world rotten in the end time. Just before the coming of our Lord, drugs will ruin and corrupt the world. I don't have time to go into it, but twice in Revelation, an angel comes and has a great sickle. My pen will be a sickle here. And the angel says, the earth is now fully ripe. And the word ripe means rotten. It is fully rotten. Now thrust in thy sickle to the earth. Now what is God going to use to make the earth fully rotten? Pharmakia. Drugs, if you please. Now then, I want you to notice and listen intently now the danger of drugs. In the big music festival in Woodstock, the one that has been advertised so widely, one of the security guards made this statement. This isn't a music festival, it is a drug convention. In Boca Raton, Florida, a poll was taken, and over 50% of the high school students have taken some kind of narcotics. That isn't unusual. Not at all. We took a poll among our own teenagers and asked them how many of them knew that their teacher had taken drugs. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, 25 or 30 of our own teenagers on the poll said they had a teacher who had said that he or she had taken drugs. I mean a school teacher. Now, in almost any high school in America, in fact, our kids said they knew where they could find drugs in most any high school in this area. In almost any public school in America, the drug problem is a serious problem. But it is reaching over our school boundaries into our churches. For example, a famous Episcopalian rector made this statement, quote, marijuana could be used in the sacraments. He made this statement, behind many of the religious experiences of the Bible was the taking of drugs. He said that he believed that when Jesus had his visions, he was on marijuana. He said he believed when Paul was caught up in the third heaven, that was because he had taken narcotics. By the way, if we had any decency in our country, there wouldn't be a single member go to that church. It's bad enough for a dope pusher or a dope peddler to talk about stuff like that, but for a man to stand behind the pulpit and use such garbage as that is sacrilege, and he ought to be defrocked from the Episcopalian church. And he would be if they didn't have so many folks that took it. A Harvard professor has coined a new word, or a new term, the gospel of drugs. A theological professor and his students went took a trip on drugs, and they said when they finished, quote, the deepest religious experience of our lives. They said this was a mind-expanding experience. Now, you know why it's coming into our churches? Because there it can receive protection and shelter from the Constitution. You see, they can hide behind religious freedom. Churches drink liquor at the Lord's Supper. Thank God we don't. We drink grape juice, just like the Bible teaches. If I had time, I'd teach you that too. But we drink grape juice. We buy churches grape juice instead of Welch's. That sounds a lot more spiritual. And but anyway, take marijuana or heroin as a religious experience, and then if somebody interferes with it, then you can call it a religious freedom, if you please. And yet, 40,000 Americans will die this year from dope addiction. Oh, but you say, preacher, that's in California. That's in Greenwich Village. No, it isn't. It's right here in the state of Indiana on the banks of the Wabash. Senator Hartke of Indiana made the statement this week that five There'll be 5,000 new heroin addicts alone in Indiana this year. Are you listening? 5,000 new heroin addicts alone in Indiana this year. And he said, we only have facilities to take care of 250 of them in our hospitals. 5,000 new ones, only 250 places where we can care for them. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is facing a serious problem not only from Soviet Russia and Red China. Our nation is facing a serious problem from right next door, down the street, and in our churches and colleges and schools all across the country. We are crumbling from the inside. By the way, it's not all in Indiana either, or way, way from here. There's nothing in this world quite makes me so mad. And by the way, let me make this very plain. At First Baptist Church Hammond, we don't trim our message at all. We just go right down the line, and it is, and it ain't, it ain't. And what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and what's white is white, and what's black is black, and we just preach it like it is. Now listen to me. There's nothing quite makes me so angry. It's to drive right down Calumet Street past Hammond High School. Drive a block and a half on the right, the old fire station, and see big sign on the side of the place, that new business that's going in there, advertising narcotics for sale. Less than one, like a bunch of parasites and lurking in the shadows, there they stand for our boys and girls who walk south toward from Hammond Baptist High School to stop and buy their dope. One block and a half from City Hall. One block and a half from the police department. In fact, I would not be surprised if you could not stand at the door of the police department and see the sign that says, get your head supplies here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an open violation of the laws of our land. A flagrant disobedience to the laws of our land. And if the law were enforced, that place would not open tomorrow. There it is. Boys, don't you say amen. We'll hold that for the adults. You can say amen you get later, when you get older. Now listen to me. You turn around and, by the way, that's what it says. Head supplies. Well, you say, this is a modern generation. You know about the generation gap. Let me tell you something, brother. Our generation's going to hell if righteous people don't stand up and fight. Go a couple of blocks north of Hammond High School. Another one of those garbage places is going in two blocks north of Hammond Baptist High School. And while we fiddle, our land is burning. And while we fiddle, our boys and girls are being tempted by illegal dope traffic right here in our own area. But as I said a while ago, that isn't all. It comes more than just to our state and just to our city. It comes into our own church. One of the boys that grew up in our church, I know, sent marijuana through the mail. Another one sold marijuana where he worked. I know three or four adults who come here every Sunday who are on dope. Ladies and gentlemen, it is right here in this room. The danger is here. Now I'll talk to you parents for a minute. I want to talk to you. What are some of the warning signs? What should you watch for? And by the way, you ought to watch for it. In the first place, watch for bloodshot eyes or dilated pupils in the eyes of your children. Watch for a sudden liking for long sleeves. If suddenly a teenager in your household decides that he or she wants long sleeves when he has not previously worn much long sleeves, then do some checking. He may be covering something on his arm. When he can't sleep at night, if he's been able to sleep but suddenly can't sleep at night and keeps odd hours, be alert. A sudden personality change, look out for it. Complete exhaustion, depression, slurring of the speech, a failure of coordination. These are all symptoms of being on narcotics. Keep your eyes open and be alert. Now the question comes, what's the cure? I want to give you several things that you ought to do. In the first place, and this is going to shock you, but I mean this with all my heart, forget the education routine. I'm a little sick of a bunch of educators getting up and saying, We need to educate our young people about the dangers of narcotics. There's not a kid in this church or in this town doesn't know that already. They don't need education. They need discipline. I'm a little weary of us thinking that educate people to do what's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the law and the enforcement of the law and the disciplining of our children when a child is little. Make him do right. Make him say yes, sir, and no, sir. Make him obey. Make him have a disciplined life. And teach that child what's right and what's wrong. I've said it so often, but I'll say it again because it's worth saying. I wish my mother could rear every one of the kids in this church. She used to get a magazine and tear the page out that had the liquor ads on it. And I'd be a little boy, 3 or 4 years of age, and mother'd hold that thing up and she'd say, bad, bad. And I'd say, bad, bad. And she'd say, real bad. And I'd say, real bad. And then she'd take that liquor ad and throw it on the floor, tear it up and throw it on the floor, and she'd stomp on it. She'd say, no, 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 no. And I'd jump up and down, no, 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 no. What we need around America is a generation of parents and preachers that will heed the admonition of the Apostle Paul and make sin exceeding sinful. It's not enough to sit behind the desk like a PhD and say, boys and girls, you may have a bad trip if you take dope. Why, they like the excitement of it. You stand up and say to your kids, it's as rotten as hell. Keep away from it. God give us the old-fashioned moms and dads who discipline kids again. Who spank them again? Mind you one thing, there are two schools in Hammond that use the paddle. Hammond Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist Elementary School. Well, you say, what are you going to do if some parent comes up and says, I don't like it. We're going to paddle the parent. I say again, we will never. Listen. We've tried to educate our kids to the evils of alcohol. We have a nation full of drunkards and alcoholics. Of course they ought to know it's wrong and why it's wrong. But the main thing they ought to is have in their little minds when they're little children, they ought to have indelibly imprinted. It's not only wrong, it's wrong. It's bad, bad. It's rotten. It's terrible. It's awful. It's obnoxious. It'll kill you. Stomp your foot and holler. I say to our preacher boys that go out and preach, when you preach against sin, don't just say, I lean slightly against it. Stomp your foot and holler and beat the pulpit and say, stay away from it. You won't put a sign up saying, posted, no trespassing over marijuana and expect the kids not to go. You got to put a 6-foot Great Dane dog there. Number two, parents, watch what your kids listen to on the radio and television. You be sure they think the Rolling Stones are falling rocks from Colorado Mountains. The Jefferson airplanes are 747s. And the Beatles are bugs to squash. Young people, the words of rock music are just as sorry as the beat. And by the way, there's one thing I never thought I'd see today. When a fundamentalist preacher had more culture than a college does. The beat of rock music is not only sensual and beastly, it's not cultured or refined or scholarly. But not only that, in many cases the words are simply invitations to narcotics. In fact, one of the leading nursery songs for little children to sing, though your parents do not realize it, is simply coded for narcotics. You see to it that your boys and girls do not listen to rock music. You see to it that they do not watch the Beatles and the Jefferson Airplanes and the Phil Ouch or Ouch or Ouch or whatever his name is, Ouchs or whatever his name is, or the Darwins, the best of you. See to it that they do not listen to this modern kind of music that's condemning the morals of our country. Be sure you check their radio programs, their records. Number three, as I said a while ago, be rough when they're small. Be rough when they're small. Number four, you get your children in a militant church. A militant church. I mean, you get your kids in a church that says, leave it off! I said to Brother Fisk before he left to go to camp, I said, you make sure every kid in our, every girl in our church wears her skirt at the length our school requires the skirts at the ranch. And if they don't have any, get you a bed sheet and wrap it around them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one place in this world that's not going to cater to a hippie, long-haired, beatnik, dirty, stinking, mini-skirted generation. We're going to raise up and are, by the grace of God, in this town, in this Chicago area, at least one church and one set of schools where if you want to rear your kids decently, like Grandpa did, you can do it. And we're going to see to it. Now, you're looking at one fella, they call me in town the Piltdown Man. That's how obsolete I am. But there's going to be one place in this Chicago area where the old-fashioned razor-strap kind of yes, sir, and no, sir, and obedience at the first time, where the kids don't run the schools, where the student council doesn't set up the dress code, where the laws are made for the leaders, where there's a yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and discipline and respect, and where, by the way, where Shakespeare is still revered and respected, and where the classics still mean something, and where Bach is still taught, and where there's decency in dress and propriety in behavior. Get your kids in a militant church. Number five, get them in a Christian school. Get them in a Christian school. Now, make no bones about it. My kids are not going to a state university. They're not. Well, you say they won't get a good education. Now, that's the devil's lie. But I had rather my boy not read or write than to go to a state university. Now, I know what that brand is. You go right ahead and brand me. I don't care. Listen, you can chase me out and railroad me out of town. You can call me what you want to call me. But while you do it, I'm going to do my best to see your kids turn out right. And I've lost the last boy or girl that I'm going to lose to a state university without a fight. Now, you say, I'll never come back again. Well, you got it one time while you were here. And in case you ever want it again, you'll find it waiting for you when you get back next time. We got a bunch of pussyfooting, ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, rose-water and peak tea lemonade preachers going around the country trying to stir up the United Nations and fight and give money to communism and give $10,000 in the Presbyterian Fund to Angela Davis and let the world go to hell and our kids go to dope and drunkenness and immorality and indecency while they stand up and quote epitaphs from Epictetus. It's time, somebody said, let's spare this nation. God, give us some courage. Give us some conviction. Help us to stand for right as with the same kind of fervor the Rap Browns and Stokely Carmichaels and Angela Davis is due for the communism and one worldism. Get your kids in a Christian school. Now, we have in our church, the last count, 53 school teachers, public school teachers. Now, thank God for every one of you. I don't think you're outside the will of God to be teaching the public schools. But I'll say again, the safest way to rear your children for decency is get your children in the Christian school. Somebody says, Brother Hiles, and this is the old, old thing. Well, Brother Hiles, they won't know how to face the world if you shelter them. That makes me want to do what some folks call regurgitate. I have another word for it. Starts with a V. It's not victory. If you knew what I knew, you wouldn't talk like that. They didn't draft me in the army in World War II in one day and send me to the Belgian bulge the next day. They had to get the Belgian bulge off of me first. A child, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, is not prepared yet to match wits with an evolution-teaching atheistic school teacher. Well, you say, I came as a visitor, saw you had in the paper, and don't like your sermon. I didn't put in the paper, you'll like it. In fine print, it said, you'll get it. And may I say, you need it. The day has come, we're going to have to declare war on the dope traffic. It's time the mayor, the city council, and every law-abiding, decent person in Hammond rose up and said, take that place off the street. time the parents said to the administrators and the teachers of our school system, get that stuff out of our schools. But of course, the great cure is what the old Negro preacher said down south. I went one day and preached to a Negro convention. I always used, back in the days when we used to love each other at a distance instead of hate each other up close. I used to preach for the Negroes a lot. I love them. The old Southern Negro, he had more religion in his toe than most of us white folks up here have got in our whole bodies. I preached for them, and they used to pat their feet while I'd preach. Instead of saying amen, they'd pat their feet, but they'd shout and get happy. But one night before I preached, they had another preacher. He's a Negro. He's another Negro preacher. I was preaching in a distant state on the radio recently, and somebody called the station while I was preaching and said, what's the name of that Negro preacher that's preaching there on the station? That's me. And I thought that was a great compliment because I admire the old Negro preachers. This old Negro preacher said, tonight, I was preaching on pills. He said, we got pills to make us happy when we're sad. Pills will make us sad when we're happy. We have pills for joy and pills for sadness and pills for tears and pills for happiness. He said, there are little pills and big pills and black pills and white pills and yellow pills. Cheap pills and high pills, but he said the pill that this old country needs is the gospel. And boy, those colored folks went wild. And brother, that's what this nation needs. I was at my health food store yesterday where I trade. And get me some 7-grain bread and trying to buy some gossip tea that I drink till all you folks got it first. Now I can't buy any. I'm going to never tell you what I eat anymore. But anyway, I was at the health food store, and the fellow's always trying to, and I don't blame him, trying to give me stuff to bring back and advertise, you know, so he'll get some business. And he said yesterday, he said, would you like to have a doctor come and speak? I'd like to have a doctor come speak to your church. He's an osteopathic doctor down in Louisville, Kentucky, and he'll help you folks be healthier. He said, would you speak at your church? And I said, nobody speaks at my church unless I know them well and know what they believe and know how they preach. And he said, he'd speak to your people some Sunday and tell them how to be healthy. And I said, I do tell my folks to be healthy, and God knows I want you to be healthy. If you don't stay healthy, you can't work, and if you don't work, you can't make any money. You don't make any money, you can't tithe. You don't tithe, and I don't make any money. And I want you to be well. God knows I do, and I'm going to teach one of these Wednesday nights very soon on how to be well, how to stay well. I'm going to teach one of these Wednesday nights soon, too, on how to drop a family budget and live according to your budget. I told him, I said, and a few folks were in there, and I wanted to know it. I said, I do teach my folks to be well, but I said the main thing I preach is Jesus and the gospel of the grace of God. What we need is to get the gospel out. What you need is the gospel. What you need is Christ. Don't forget this thing about the message now. In the end time, right before our Lord's return, right before Jesus comes again, in the Armageddon days, in the closing days of this dispensation, what will characterize it? Uniting of the nations. What else? Uniting of the churches. What else? Uniting of finance and commerce, the World Bank. What else? By their pharmakia shall all the nations of the earth be deceived. By their pharmakia. By their pharmakia. The other day, one of our men came to my office and sat down and shook his head and wept and said, preacher, it's my boy. He's on dope. And I said, no, not him. Yes, he's on dope. And we wept together and prayed together. When that man left, that night, I got on my knees in my office. And I said, dear God, the devil is not going to get my kids unless I spent myself to keep him from it. And I dedicated myself. I know what I am. I'm the offscouring. I know that. I was walking down a shopping center the other day, and a family met me, and a little girl spit at me. I mean, I know. You say, I wish I were like you. I wish I didn't care. I do care. But I let the whole world spit on me to save one kid from destruction. I haven't just discovered a few things that I'm against that I want to holler about all the time. Dr. Billings, I think you'll agree to this, and anybody else that knows me well, I'm not a warring man. I don't like to fight. But somebody's going to have somebody's got to save our kids. And I want to do it. I want these kids on the front row here as they grow up. I want these girls to be lovely, chaste, proper, charming, cultured, modest, spiritual, disciplined. And I want these boys, God bless these fellows, I want them to be strong, masculine, dedicated, clean young men. And to that cause, we've dedicated ourselves here at First Baptist Church. Kids, please, be careful. Be careful. The devil has every gun and weapon he has pointed in your direction. Be careful. Moms and dads, help us. Help us. If we err, we do not err on purpose. We want to help. We want to help. Soon, Jesus is coming. The Bible says, in the last hours before he comes, pharmakeia will deceive the nations. The pharmacy, the drugstore, the drugs will deceive the nations. If you're saved, be clean. If you're saved, be honorable. If you're saved, don't listen to the world's trappings or yield to the world's temptations. I have no greater joy, and I'm going to close with this. I know I've preached a long time, but it's so vital. I have no greater joy as a pastor, no greater joy than to see our kids turn out right. When I stand here at the altar and see a lovely bride come down this aisle and one of our fine boys stand here, and I realize that our dreams have been fulfilled, I have no greater joy as a pastor. And neither do I have any greater sorrow a heartbreak than when they don't turn out right. Four or five of our boys wear long hair. You think I'm mad at you? No, if you knew how much I loved you, you'd get a haircut. I weep over you. I'm thinking of three or four of you right now. I had so many dreams and hopes. You say, well, I can still mount to something with long, shaggy hair. That long, shaggy hair represents more than long, shaggy hair. That represents rebellion. And I have nothing that breaks my heart quite as much as our kids not turning out right. Doc, come a minute. We have the finest principal in America. No doubt about it. And he and I spent 3 hours together Friday night discussing the future of your kids. And he and I both have dedicated ourselves to help you rear your kids for God and for right. Let's do it. Thank you, Doc. Let's do it. Well, I know. You say, well, how? They'll call us fanatics. Okay, let's be good Christian fanatics then. You say, well, how? I'm not very popular. Join the crowd. I'm not either. But I got some news for you. He who was the captain of our salvation went to a cross and was hanged between heaven and earth. His beard was plucked. They spat upon him. He was crucified. And no one came to his rescue. That's our captain. Are we greater than he?
Let us pray.